Life doesn't always turn out how you plan it. Wouldn't you agree with that? Yeah? I bet that 4 months ago you never thought you'd be sitting for Sunday church in Temple Bethel. I'm quite sure I'm right about that one. But here's the good news. That if you and I have walked uprightly, if we have obeyed God's word, we can be certain of this. We are right in the absolute center of God's plan A for our lives. You can be sure of that. This may be unexpected. This may have not been your plan. We may have even fought against it on some level. But God's working out his perfect plan for my life and for yours. It may feel like a detour, but it's plan A. It's plan A for your life. And if you've ever tempted to doubt that, and I know that I have, and you will be tempted to doubt that, you need to only look at God's clear and convincing confirmation that we're right where God wants us to be. Because he's giving us all kinds of signs to see that. He's showing us that with a clarity that should be undeniable to you and to me. As a matter of fact, the successful launch of Compass Bible Church in 7.5 weeks from concept to first worship service is amazing. But it's not all that unusual in God's economy. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of Nehemiah. And I'd like us to identify for a few minutes here this morning with God's gracious confirmation in a clear and convincing way as he grants victories that you and I never thought we would need. God shows that he is moving and directing and keeping us right in the center of his will. Consider these people in the book of Nehemiah, the righteous remnant who found themselves in the Babylonian captivity. It certainly wasn't their plan. It wasn't their choice. They didn't want it. They fought against it. They weren't even the cause of it. But God had them there accomplishing his plan on a bigger scale, working his larger plan for a greater purpose. And he had in no way abandoned those who loved him, feared him, and trembled at his word. He was right there working with them day after day and moving in their hearts to accomplish his will. As a matter of fact, at the beginning here of the book of Nehemiah, he prompts them to organize and to restructure, rebuild, and construct the walls of Jerusalem. That's what the book of Nehemiah is all about, and to do it in record time. From the time Nehemiah and his core team put their hand to the task to the time they were done building the walls, it was an amazing 52 days. That's all it took. And they could stand back and they say, well, God must be in this. As a matter of fact, that is one of the most important things about the book of Nehemiah, is that Nehemiah and his team recognized God is in this. And they said it frequently throughout the book. They knew it. They knew that they were in the center of God's plan because God was giving them victories they wished they would never need as they were rebuilding God's city in record time. A GT2, if you were with us back then. I mean, this is really a providentially miraculous event where God is moving to show I'm in the center of this. As a matter of fact, look with me at chapter 2 as Nehemiah recognizes it. He sees it. We pick up the narrative in verse 1. It says, the month of Nisan in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, that was Nehemiah's job. He was the cupbearer to the king. He took the wine and he gave it to the king, and he had never been sad in the king's presence before. So apparently he was moping around a little bit, and the king says, why does your face look so sad? Hey, what's wrong with you, Nehemiah? You're not sick. I mean, I don't think you're sick, are you? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. You must be bummed out about something. Tell me, what's going on? And Nehemiah adds the commentary here, I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. You ever had those little 2-second prayers before? You know how those go, right? Okay, God, here it goes. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, then let him send me to the city of Judah where my fathers are buried so I can rebuild it. Pause. Gulp. Now, I know we know the story, and I know you know the Bible, and I know you know God was all in this, but can you imagine being King Artaxerxes there and having an employee walk in and say, well, you know, if I've been a good employee, and if you like me and everything, I'd like to go to back to Montana, where my family has a ranch, and I want to rebuild it. Okay, great. Are you giving your notice? You know, what are you talking about? Nehemiah not only gets the king to let him go on a paid leave of absence, he says, do you need a company credit card? I mean, this is amazing. This is unexpected. This is not usual. This is not normal. And yet that's exactly what happens. The king says, verse number 6, with the queen sitting behind him. Okay, so we have everybody there that's needed for this decision. Sorry. How long will your journey take? When are you coming back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. And I said, if it pleases the king, may I have letters for the governor and the Trans-Euphrates so that they'll provide me safe conduct until I arrive to Judah. And I may have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, so maybe he can give me some timber and beams and gates for the citadel and the temple for which the city walls and the residents I'll occupy. Oh man, let it happen. Will that be okay? And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. That's amazing. That's almost as amazing as a Christian church finding a Jewish temple to hold Sunday services in. That's amazing. And you know what Nehemiah says? It must be God. He makes the God connection. This must be God. This must be an amazing thing. God is at work. As a matter of fact, he gives all the details to the Jewish officials, and he goes away saying it. It's not just what he thinks, because, I mean, we got his thoughts in verse 8, but drop down to verse 18. Now he's saying it to people. He tells the Jewish officials about what's happening and how it's all coming together, and he says, and I told them about, now it comes out of his mouth, the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me, and they replied, let's start rebuilding. Let's do it. See, they recognized that God was in it. Number one on your outlines, if you found your worksheet, I like to use those worksheets if you're visiting this morning. I'll have worksheets every week, and you want to put down number one if you found your worksheet there. Here's what we need to do. Ready? We need to see God in it. Because if you don't see God in it, you're not looking. Because God is clearly in what's happening here at Compass Bible Church. And if you're tempted to doubt it, if you're tempted to look back and say, well, what's going on, and I don't know, and I don't feel right, listen, God is clearly in this. God's gracious hand has been upon the steps in the process of seeing this come to fruition. It's amazing that we don't see that sooner. As a matter of fact, if you forward the story to chapter 6, this is the building process. We have the building process from chapter 2, as he gets everything ready and good to go, all the way to chapter 6, and he finishes it. As a matter of fact, in record time, drop down to verse number 15. So the wall, this is Nehemiah 6:15, was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. 52 days. Less than 2 months. 7.5 weeks. Do you realize that 3 months ago, most of us here had no idea where we'd be sitting this morning? None. Many were visiting area churches. I know that because I saw many of you there. Now, you're not helping if you're going to laugh loudly at those moments. I was candidating and beginning the candidating process at a variety of churches across the country. We were looking around. I was talking to realtors about home prices in North Carolina, which, by the way, wow, the house I could have bought in North Carolina. You have no idea. And I'll tell you what. 7.5 weeks ago, certainly 3 months ago, the Compass Bible Church wasn't a blip on the radar. Not on ours, at least. I'll tell you what, I didn't have any plans for this. And most of you were just, you know, praying, wondering, thinking. And you know what? God had a plan. And in 7.5 weeks, interesting, I did the math on this. This is how God works. 52 days ago, back from today, was a turning point for my wife and I. We went out of town. We prayed, we sought God, we said, God, what do you want us to do? We got a lot going on. We got a lot of irons in the fire. We're looking at a lot of opportunities. We had places we were dialoguing with. I had a couple offers of churches, and it was like, okay, maybe this is what you want to do with my life. And 52, 53, 54 days ago, everything changed for us. And you know what? Your prayers, my prayer seeking God's will, your prayer seeking God's will, a lot of things congealed. And that was 52 days ago. And we had nothing. We had zero. And you know that because a lot of you have worked in the last 7.5 weeks to see this become a reality. And I'll tell you what, try to slap a church together in 7.5 weeks. Man, it's impossible unless the gracious hand of God is upon you. God has been involved in this process, and you ought not doubt it, and I ought not doubt it from this moment on. God has been involved in the process. And as I was looking to get to the, you know, Atlantic Coast Church or wherever it was I was headed, I was thinking to myself, God, you know, I just think this is what's right, and God just working in my heart and working in many of your hearts. And so here we are 52 days later, much like they were in the days of Nehemiah. And look at verse number 16, if you still have chapter 6 open. It says, even people that were critics and skeptics, it's a harsh word in verse 16, but the enemies of Nehemiah and all these people, it says, when they heard that it was done in 52 days, they lost their self-confidence. They were afraid because they started to realize, because now it was undeniable even to the critics, that this work had been done with the help of God. And if you and I don't start to recognize that this is something a lot larger than us, as we sat in meetings kind of thinking this through, and I shared it with a lot of you, this has been a freight train that God has been putting together, and we just feel like we just kind of grabbed onto the side. We're just along for the ride, because God's doing some things here, and apparently he's got a plan, plan A, and we're right in the center of it, and God wanted to see some things happen in this valley. And when you go out this door and you get your donuts, stand a little, take a moment to pause there on the patio, and look at this valley. And look at the place where God is now putting us, planting us, to see what might happen in this valley, in this area. And as we said, we're going to be committed. Value number 8, and if you didn't hear those messages, they'll be downstairs on the patio for you. But we are always going to be working to see if we can multiply this in other places. And that means people like you and people like the people I introduced on our staff are going to be willing to say, wait a minute, where would God send us from this place? To go see Compass Bible Churches planted all over the place. We're committed to that. And we got to see that God is in this. God's gracious hand has been upon us, and it's undeniable. And the only way to deny it is to put both hands firmly over your eyes and to just yell loudly and say, I don't see it and I can't hear it, because it's there and it's clear. Open your eyes. God is in this, and we ought to be careful to recognize it. Now, recognizing that God is in this, and particularly Nehemiah and his team recognize that, that's the first step. What's important now is that we turn to do what we should always do when we see God involved in something in our lives. Turn to chapter 8 and see what they did, something we ought to do, and something we've already begun to do this morning, but I want you to make it a purposeful plan in your life to do from this point on. Take a look at it. Nehemiah chapter 8. There was a process that took place, starting actually in chapter 7 as they start to organize, and into chapter 8 where they say, we've done it. We put the walls up. And that's important. That's good. We put some walls up here. But I'll tell you, now we got to sit back and say, this was a work of God, and because it's a work of God, we're going to celebrate it. Verse number 9 says, Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest and scribe and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, this is a sacred day to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. See, they got up reading the Bible, and they began to read the Bible because it was the time of ingathering, the Jewish festival in the fall, where they would all celebrate, interesting the timing of this in God's economy, the time when they would sit back and celebrate all that God was doing. And they would celebrate this with a feast, the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, where it was basically a camping trip to Jerusalem, and we'd all come and we'd celebrate that God gives us good things like the crops out in the field. And it was a perfect time for them to say, now look what just happened to us. In the last 52 days, God threw together the city walls, and we are here now celebrating the Feast of Booths for the first time in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, saying, isn't God good? Look what he's done. And the timing of those two events was amazing, much like the timing of this event. You realize, and I've said this before, if you're under the sycamore tree, June the 5th was an important date for us as a staff, as leadership. And we start saying, what a great thing it is, because the other church that I used to pastor, on June the 5th, 1955, they started a work in South Orange County, and we got excited about, this is an important day on the calendar for us to celebrate. And then, of course, in the middle of this transition, we thought, wow, I'm not sure there'll be much celebrating in our hearts going on, because we don't even know where we're going to be. And then in 52 days from the time of concept to launch, here we are on June the 5th of all dates, launching a brand new church, and we're saying, what an ideal time for us to celebrate. And they celebrated, just like we ought to be celebrating, that God again is renewing and planting and starting things. And he says this in verse 10, let's celebrate, guys. He says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared, because this day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve. And here's this great phrase, underline it. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Had they been through a lot of trouble, these people in Nehemiah's day? Yes. Did they have scars from all that they were going through? Not just in the Babylonian captivity and with Persia, but they were having all kinds of problems as they tried to rebuild the wall, and they were getting slammed left and right, and they were there, and Nehemiah is saying, let's stop. Don't look back. Here we go. Let's rejoice. Because the joy of God, as we celebrate what He's done, that's going to be our strength. That's going to be like this generating plant in our hearts that's going to march us into the future. So you better be focused on celebrating and joy. Because that's, by the way, the second complement to what we need to do when we recognize that God's in it. Number two on your outlines, you need to celebrate it. And we need to celebrate it just like they did. We need to say, hey, this is something that we don't just say, isn't this great? God is in it. We need to stand back and say, how's my heart going to respond to that? This is not an intellectual matter. This needs to become a matter of my heart. A matter of saying God is good and we will celebrate it. And we're going to get excited about it. As a matter of fact, it says in verse number 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy. It was intentional celebration, regardless of the battle scars that they had. And they were going to rejoice because God was in their life. And they were right in the middle of plan A for them. They were in God's plan A. So they were going to say, we're going to rejoice. Verse 14, they found written in the law that Yahweh had commanded through Moses that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. They hadn't been doing that in the month of Tishri. Verse 15, and they would proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns in Jerusalem. Go to the hill country, bring back branches and olive and wild olive trees and myrtles and palms and shade trees to make booths, just as it's written there back in the Old Testament in the law. So the people went out and they brought back branches and built themselves booths, this festival. This little camp out here in Jerusalem, on their roofs and in their courtyards, and in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the square of the water gate, the one by the gate of Ephraim. Now note this, verse 17, and the whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Now if you study the Old Testament from the book of Joshua to this day, they were celebrating this. Of course, they hadn't been for 70 years in the Babylonian exile, but Israel had celebrated it. But note those two words, they hadn't celebrated it like this before. Because when they moved into the land for the first time under Joshua, man, they were excited. And here's the Bible saying, and now, again, they were celebrating it like it was the first time. Look, God is in this. It was a kind of celebration that was filled with joy. A kind of joy that's so focused that says, this will be my strength. This will be my healing. I won't worry about all of this other stuff. I'm going to worry about rejoicing in what God has done. It'll be my strength, and we will rejoice. And it says, and their joy was great. And day after day, from the first to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law. They celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. I mean, they had a big party, a big assembly to worship God. Their celebration was biblical. It was appropriate. They weren't pie in the sky people just kind of chasing this fantasy. They were rooted in the fact that they could see with an eye of faith that what had happened was God's doing, and they were going to say, we're going to be happy people and we're going to rejoice. There's nothing I want more than for Compass Bible Church to be a place of joy where happy people rejoice and we say God's in it. Regardless of circumstances, how difficult things are, and it may be now some of our corporate trials, whatever, are behind us. Personal trials are going to hit your life. Some of you are in the middle of them right now, and I know you are. And it's time for us to say, it's okay. The joy of the Lord's going to be our strength. And we're going to focus on the fact that we're in the center of plan A for our lives. And we're going to get excited about that. We're going to make that our purposeful, memorialized celebration in our hearts. As a matter of fact, we don't have time to look at it, but Nehemiah chapter 12 is when they formally dedicate the wall. Verses 27 and following. All right, whatever. We got 2 hours between services. Let's go there. Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. See, you'll hear less of that here, at least for now, that we don't have time for that. So we have all kinds of time now. Nehemiah chapter 12, look at verse 27. This is great. I love this. It says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem that God had built in 52 days, the Levites were sought out from where they lived, and they were brought to Jerusalem. They were just said, come on, let's get together. Let's celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals and harps and lyres. And the rest of this text talks about Nehemiah orchestrating this elaborate celebration, one which, by the way, you should in your heart celebrate. I mean, we threw up some balloons and stuff like that, but you ought to say, this is my obligation before God to celebrate that God is in our corporate life. You ought to do it just like they did. They made this purposeful. Drop down to verse number 43. I love this. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. See, if we seek it and we purposely go after it, God will grant it. And the women and the children, they all rejoiced. And the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem, I love this, let's make this a reality for us, could be heard far away. Everybody's hearing them. Man, that is a joyful group of people. What's going on over there? And the answer is God's in it. God's in our lives. God's in our corporate life. God is in this church. What a great thing. We're going to rejoice and make sure that people hear it. Memorialize this day. I mean, we got a little compass. All right, whatever. You don't need a compass, right? You got GPS in your Lexus probably, but... But get this little compass, and it's got June the 5th, 2005, etched on the back, and it says Compass Bible Church. It's just a little key ring thing, but remember it. And every time you see it, say, God, thanks so much that you're in the birth of this new church. Say that to God. Do it. As a matter of fact, I started praying about, 52 days ago for the launch of a new church. Matter of fact, that was the week that Carlin and I sat around and we said, we're trying to figure out who's going to get credit for the name here, we'll give it to God, because I think she thought of it. But we said, you know, Compass Bible Church, that would be a great thing. And from that day forward, 52 days ago, we started praying about Compass Bible Church by name. I said, God, help this to be a success. Help this to be something that if you want it, that you're in it, that you'll make it clear. And convincing, obvious signs that your good, gracious hand is upon it, make it super clear to us. And you know, day after day and week after week, he made that really clear. And we prayed. At meals, we pray as a family. God, please, we pray for the future launch of Compass Bible Church. You know what? As of today, we need to change that prayer. Oh, we still need to pray for it. That's a practical thing. But now we need to thank God for it. And we need to celebrate it. We started to do that. Last night, got together. We prayed before the meal. We said, God, thank you. We celebrate Compass Bible Church and its launch. Man, God just doesn't want to hear our requests. He also wants to hear us say thanks. It's kind of nice, isn't it, Mom and Dad, to hear kids say that every now and then? It'd be good for us to be saying that to God on a regular basis. You bow your heads over your meal. You know, there's a lot of good new restaurants around here for us to explore after church. You bow your head before God and you say at lunch today, not just, God, we pray for the protection and the strength of Compass Bible, but you say, God, thank you. We celebrate the launch of Compass Bible Church. Let's thank God for it. Let's celebrate. I don't know how you're going to do that. I mean, it's corporately. All we can do is, you know, have donuts and a few balloons. But maybe you and a couple of families can say, we're going to get together and just have a cake. We're going to have a party. We're just going to have a time to memorialize that God has done some great things among us. And that's what Nehemiah was interested in making sure the people did. They're celebrating downstairs. You got to realize that the walls were critically important, but they were just walls. You do realize that, right? Brick and mortar. Does God care about brick and mortar? Well, yeah, but only because he cares about the people that would live in and within the walls of that brick and mortar. Do you realize that? Yes, you realize that. And when God put brick and mortar together in 52 days, the people stood back and rejoiced. But you do realize that the book doesn't end in chapter 6 when the walls were built. You do realize that we're not even halfway through the book. I mean, actually, chapter 7 is where the real work starts. Go back to chapter 7, if you would. Take a look at this. The real work was not the brick and mortar. Was that important? Critically important. Yes, very important. Brick and mortar. God had to have the walls built because that's where the people were going to live. He cares about his people. But in chapter 7, now he turns his attention to the people. Here we go. Verse 1, after the wall had been rebuilt, and I'd set the doors in place, and the gatekeepers and the singer and the Levites were appointed, I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother, little nepotism there, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. I love that. You know, just like Titus and 1 Timothy, choosing godly people to be key players in this. And I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. I also appointed residents of Jerusalem as guards and some as their, at their posts and some near their own houses. Now, I love this. Underline this. Verse 4. Now, the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. So my God put it on my heart to assemble, now look, people, nobles, officials, and the common people for the registration of families. I found the genealogical records, and off we go. And here we have the longest chapter in all of Nehemiah. The longest chapter in all of Nehemiah is not about brick and mortar. The longest chapter in Nehemiah is about people. See, God is interested in that. He is interested in saying, now that I've built the walls, I'm interested in getting these people in place. That's the real concern of God. He's not so concerned about brick and mortar, though it's a means to an end. And the end is that we get people in Jerusalem to worship Yahweh. And I'll tell you this, God isn't so concerned about screens and sound systems and microphones, though we had to scurry to go find them. He's not concerned so much about lease agreements either, though they're critically important. You know what he's concerned about? People. He's concerned about people. And so we turn our attention to saying God is in it. In what? In putting together a place where we can worship with 750 chairs in a room where we can say, let's worship God together. Let's launch this new church because God is in it. Let's celebrate that. But now we need to say, okay, the work now really begins. Because what we're going to do is build by God's grace on what he has started here. And we're going to say, God, you've done this so that we can move forward with a focus on people. I put it this way. Let's put this word down. Number 3 on our outlines. We need to perpetuate it. We need to perpetuate it. God has granted us a victory. Now it's for us to turn our attention like Nehemiah did and say there are people that need to be a part of this, that need to be ministered to, that we need to help grow up in Christ. As the Great Commission, and we'll preach on this, I'm sure. We'll probably start a Thursday night study on this before we get to Romans. But we need to talk about the concept of knowing him, loving him, and serving him. That's what it's all about. There are people that need to know Christ. There are people that need to love Christ more fully and more deeply. And then there are people that need to get involved in serving Christ. And that's the call of the church. And we need to be about that. It's about the people. He didn't give us a lease agreement and a screen and a platform just so we can have that. He's not so concerned about brick and mortar. He's concerned about us perpetuating the thing that God really wants to do, building on that to see great things happen in the future. And so he lists them. As a matter of fact, he goes down there, he gets a genealogical record, and starting there in verse number 7, bottom of verse 7, here comes the list of the people of Israel. We got to perpetuate God's unexpected victories. He started something here with room for growth so that he could see people in this valley and beyond reached. And the way he does this is it's God. It's so ingenious. Turn to chapter 9, if you would. Nehemiah leads them in this text to ponder the things that took their forefathers into captivity. And he asks them to do something very important to perpetuate this. He asks them to covenant together. You know what a covenant is, right? It's a promise. It's an agreement. It's a binding agreement. He asks them to covenant together to be the people that God wanted them to be. To avoid the mistakes of the past and to look to the future with a covenant in my heart. To move forward as the people of God and say, hey, we're going to do good things within the walls of this brick and mortar that you put together in 52 days. Take a look down at verse number 38. In view of all this, Nehemiah says, after reviewing all these things, he says, we are making a binding agreement and putting it in writing. And our leaders and our Levites and our priests are affixing their seals to it. And then after that comes all this list of people, all the long list of the people. And then, if you get to the bottom of that list, look at chapter 10, verse number 28. It says, the rest of the people, this is Nehemiah 10, 28, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and their sons and their daughters, all who were able to understand, they all joined their brothers and their nobles to bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God, given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, all the regulations and decrees of the Lord our God. Man, they said, okay, we're going to do this right. We're going to obey God. We're about following him. That's what we're going to do. I didn't have any lengthy decree to roll out for you to fix your family seal to. But I did put a prayer on the back of your worksheet. And if you'd turn it over, I want you to see there that box. And you know what? Just as simply as I could, I thought, I want to follow in the pattern of Nehemiah chapter 10. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38, and I want to say something like this, that today maybe we can put a pin to and say, yes, sovereign God, do you see it there, the dotted box? I commit myself to be the Christian you want me to be. You've been good to us in launching this new church, and I want to be thoughtful in responding to your kindness. I am today, by your grace, committing myself afresh to knowing you better, to loving you more, and to serving you faithfully. Accomplish your will in my life, in and through this body of believers. And then there's a dotted line with an X next to it, and you know what you're supposed to do. I'm telling you what, just like Nehemiah, I hope I could lead the people to say, let's covenant together to be a church where people are seeking to know him, to love him, and to serve him. And we're saying we're going to do it. And we're going to try and be the people, just like Nehemiah's day, where they said, we want to be the people God wants us to be. I want us to be the people that God wants us to be. To be the kinds of Christians God would have us be. And today I hope as we launch this new endeavor that we would say, we're ready to affix our seal to that. We're ready to put our John Hancock on that and say, we're in for this. We'll do it. We're together, ready, not just to celebrate that God is in our lives and in our church, but to perpetuate what he started. You know that great verse, and it is so important, and the last time I quoted it, I had a whole different referent in mind. But I'll tell you what, that great verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, is so helpful for me in times like this. And the Bible says that Paul was confident at this church at Philippi that he who began a good work in them would continue to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I'll tell you what, God is starting something right here that I have no idea where God is going to take this. But I have hope and confidence and faith in God that he's going to take us some great places. And I want to say, men and women, this morning, as we begin this brand new venture, we ought to celebrate what God has done, but we also ought to be ready to perpetuate the victory by saying, we are ready, God, to see this, carry this out, to bring it to completion till the day of Christ in and through us. God, we're signed up for that. We're ready to go. I hope that'd be your heart this morning. Let's pray. God, help us. The beginning of a new and an exciting time as we sit here this morning looking at those words that are just a brief summary to say we want to follow your word. We want to be people of your word and of your truth. We want to be the Christians you want us to be. And we're ready this morning to say, yes, we'll do it. By your grace, we'll do it. And God, we know that there is certainly strength in numbers as we say we want to go out as an army for Christ. And we want to, reflecting your faithfulness, say we are willing to respond to your faithfulness and kindness in our lives by reaching people for Christ, to help people to know him, to love him, and to serve him. God, make that for us something that's not just a hope and not just a dream, but something that is for us a daily reality as we see you work in and through Compass Bible Church. Open up doors for us in the future like you just have in the last 52 days and make it something fantastic. And next week as we get looking at the gospel that is the foundation of the church, God, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that this is just the beginning of good things. A lease agreement is just the start, that we're here now to be focused on people for the good of the kingdom, for the sake of Christ, and for the glory of God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.